Chapter 58. Safety, Comfort, and Convenience Circuits. Purpose and Function. Horns are electric devices that emit a loud sound used to alert other drivers or persons in the area. Horns are manufactured in several different tones, ranging from 1,800 to 3,550 Hz, and must be heard from a minimum distance of 200 feet, or 60 meters. Vehicle manufacturers select from various horn tones for a particular vehicle sound. See Figure 58-1. When two horns are used, each has a different tone, yet the sound combines when both are operated. Most horns since 2000 have used the body control module, BCM, to control the actual operation. Horn circuits. Automotive horns usually operate on full battery voltage wired from the battery, through a fuse, switch, and then to the horns. Most vehicles use a horn relay, and the horn button on the steering wheel or column completes a circuit to ground that closes the control side of the relay. The heavy current flow required to operate the horn travels through the load side of the relay to the horn. See Figure 58-2. Computer-controlled horns. On most recent model vehicles, the horn button is an input to the body control module, BCM, or electronic control unit, ECU. The BCM controls the operation of the horn relay. The horn relay may also be controlled by the BCM, which beeps the horn when the vehicle is locked or unlocked, using the key fob remote, and can be sounded by the alarm system. Check service information for the exact details about the horn circuit for the vehicle being checked. See Figure 58-3. Refer to Figure 58-1. Two horns are used on this vehicle. Many vehicles use only one horn, often hidden underneath the vehicle. Horn operation. A vehicle horn is an actuator that converts an electrical signal to sound. The horn circuit has an armature, or a coil of wire, and contacts that are attached to a diaphragm. When energized, the armature causes the diaphragm to move up, which then opens a set of contact points that de-energize the armature circuit. As the diaphragm moves down, the contact points close, re-energizing the armature circuit, and the diaphragm moves up again. This rapid opening and closing of the contact points causes the diaphragm to vibrate at an audible frequency. The sound created by the diaphragm is magnified as it travels through a trumpet attached to the diaphragm chamber. Most horn systems typically use one or two horns, but some have up to four. Those with multiple horns use both high and low pitch units to achieve a harmonious tone. Only a high-pitched unit is used in single horn applications. The horn assembly is marked with an H, or L for pitch identification. Refer to Figure 58-2. A simplified horn circuit where the horn button completes the ground circuit of the relay coil. Horn diagnosis. Scan tool testing. A scan tool can be used to test a horn that is computer controlled by using the bidirectional feature of a factory or factory level aftermarket scan tool. Because most horn buttons are an input to the BCM or similar module, a scan tool can often be used to command the horn to sound. Check service information for the vehicle being tested for the exact tests and testing procedures to follow. Horn circuit testing. Once the cause of an inoperative horn has been reduced to the horn wiring circuit, the wiring needs to be checked. Typically, a digital multimeter abbreviated, DMM, is used to perform voltage drop and continuity checks to isolate the failure. A momentary contact switch, horn button, is used to sound the horn. The horn switch is mounted to the steering wheel and or near the center of the steering column. Caution, if the steering wheel needs to be removed for diagnosis or repair of the horn circuit, follow service information procedures for disarming the airbag circuit prior to removing the steering wheel, and for the specified test equipment to use. On most recent model vehicles, the horn relay is in a centralized power distribution center along with other relays, circuit breakers, and fuses. Check the relay to determine if the coil is being energized and if current passes through the power circuit when the horn switch is depressed. Check service information for the exact diagnosis and horn replacement procedures to follow. Horn replacement. Horns are generally mounted on the radiator core support by bolts and nuts or sheet metal screws. To replace a horn, remove the fasteners and lift the old horn from its mounting bracket. Clean the attachment area on the mounting bracket and chassis before installing the new horn. Some models use a corrosion-resistant mounting bolt to ensure a ground connection. Refer to Figure 58-3. A typical schematic of a horn circuit. Note that the horn relay can be activated by either the horn switch in the steering wheel or by the body control module. Refer to Figure 58-4. The motor and linkage bolt to the body and connect to the switch with a wiring harness. Windshield wipers. Purpose and function. Windshield wipers are used to keep the viewing area of the windshield clear of rain. Windshield wiper systems and circuits vary greatly between manufacturers as well as between models. Some vehicles combine the windshield wiper and windshield washer functions into a single system. Many minivans and sport utility vehicles also have a rear window wiper and washer system that works independently of the windshield system. Generally, all windshield and rear window wiper and washer systems operate in a similar fashion. Wiper control switches are installed on the steering column, usually as part of a multifunction switch that controls several other functions. Computer-controlled wipers. Most wipers, since the 1990s, have used the BCM to control the actual operation of the wiper. The wiper controls are an input to the control module and may also turn on the headlights whenever the wipers are on, which is the law in some states. See Figure 58-4. Wiper and washer components. A typical combination wiper and washer system consists of the following. Wiper motors. Gearbox. Wiper arms and linkage. Wiper blades. Washer pump. Hoses and jets, nozzles. Fluid reservoir. Combination switch. And wiring and electrical connectors. See Figure 58-5. Refer to Figure 58-5. A typical wiper motor with the housing cover removed. The motor itself has a worm gear on the shaft that turns the small intermediate gear, which then rotates the gear and tube assembly, which rotates the crank arm, not shown, that connects to the wiper linkage. Windshield wiper motors. The windshield wipers ordinarily use a special two-speed electric motor. Some are compound wound motors, a motor type that provides for two different speeds. Series wound field and shunt field. One speed is achieved in the series wound field and the other speed in the shunt wound field. Other wiper motors are of the permanent magnet type. See Figure 58-6. Wiper motor operation. Wiper motors using a permanent magnet motor have a low-speed positive brush, a high-speed positive brush and a ground, negative, brush. The brushes connect the battery to the internal windings of the motor, and the two brushes provide for two different motor speeds. The ground brush is directly opposite the low-speed brush. The high-speed brush is off to the side of the low-speed brush. When current flows through the high-speed brush, there are fewer turns on the armature between the hot and ground brushes and, therefore, the resistance is less. With less resistance, more current flows and the armature revolves faster. Frequently asked question. How do wipers park? Some vehicles have wiper arms that park lower than the normal operating position, so they are hidden below the hood when not in operation. This is called a depressed park position. When the wiper motor is turned off, the park switch allows the motor to continue to turn until the wiper arms reach the bottom edge of the windshield. Then the park switch reverses the current flow through the wiper motor, which makes a partial revolution in the opposite direction. The wiper linkage pulls the wiper arms down below the level of the hood and the park switch is opened, stopping the wiper motor. Refer to Figure 58-6. A wiring diagram of a two-speed windshield wiper circuit using a three-brush, two-speed motor. The dashed line for the multifunction lever indicates that the circuit shown is only part of the total function of the steering column lever. Park position. Windshield wiper motor park operation is controlled by the wiper motor module using an input from the park switch within the wiper motor assembly. When the windshield wiper slash washer switch is turned to the off position while the wiper blades are somewhere on the windshield, the wiper motor module continues to operate the wiper motor until the wipers reach the park position. Check service information for the exact operation for the vehicle being serviced. Variable wipers. The variable delay wipers, also called pulse wipers, is a term used to describe the operation of the wipers that operate on an interval that can be delayed when the rain is light. Older vehicles use an electronic circuit with a variable resistor that controls the time of the charge and discharge of a capacitor. The charging and discharging of the capacitor controls the circuit for the operation of the wiper motor. On newer vehicles, the wipers are controlled by the BCM with input from the driver using a knob or dial to adjust the wiper interval. Windshield wiper diagnosis. If the windshield wipers are not working, use a factory or factory-level scan tool and check for operation using the bidirectional controls. If the wipers function when commanded by the scan tool, check service information for the exact procedures to follow when checking the switch input and BCM connections. If the wipers do not function when being commanded by the scan tool, perform circuit testing, which usually includes determining if the fault is electrical or mechanical. See Figure 58-7. To determine if there is an electrical or mechanical problem, Access the motor assembly and disconnect the wiper arm linkage from the motor and gearbox. If the motor operates, but the wipers do not, check for the following. Number 1. Stripped gears in the gearbox or stripped linkage connection. Number 2. Loose or separated motor to gearbox connection. And number 3. Loose linkage to the motor connection. If the motor does not shut off, check for the following. Number 1. Defective park switch inside the motor. Number 2. Defective wiper switch. And number 3. Poor ground connection at the wiper switch. Wiper motor replacement. Wiper motors are replaced if defective. The motor usually mounts on the bulkhead, or firewall. Bulkhead mounted units are accessible from under the hood, while the cowl panel needs to be removed to service a motor mounted in the cowl. See Figure 58-8. Rear wipers. Rear window wiper motors are generally located inside the rear hatch panel on vehicles with a hatchback or liftgate. After removing the trim panel covering the motor, replacement is essentially the same as replacing the front wiper motor. Windshield washers. Operation. Windshield washers are used to squirt washer fluid onto the surface of the windshield where it can help dissolve debris and clean the viewing area of the windshield when the wipers are used. Most vehicle windshield washers use a positive displacement or centrifugal type washer pump located in the washer reservoir. A momentary contact switch, which is often part of a steering column mounted combination switch assembly, energizes the washer pump. Washer pump switches are installed either on the steering column or on the instrument panel. The nozzles can be located on the bulkhead, in the hood, or mounted as part of the wiper arms, depending on the vehicle. Rear washers. Vehicles equipped with a rear wiper are also equipped with a rear washer. The rear washer may share a fluid reservoir with the front wipers, or it may have its own reservoir. The rear washer switch is located on either the steering column or on the instrument panel. Headlight washers. Many vehicles are equipped with headlight washers that spray washer fluid into the surface of the headlights when actuated. Some systems even include small wiper blades. Headlight washers are usually operated from the main headlight control switch, if equipped. Most headlight washers use the same windshield washer reservoir as is used for the front windshield washers. Refer to Figure 58-7. A circuit diagram is necessary to troubleshoot a windshield wiper problem. Tech tip. Scan tool bidirectional control. Most vehicles built since 2000 can have the lighting and accessory circuits checked using a scan tool. A technician can use the following factory scan tool, such as TAC2 or multiple diagnostic interface from General Motors vehicle, DRB3, Star Scan, Star Mobile, Witek, or MicroPod 2 from Chrysler Jeep vehicles, new generation Star or IDS from Ford, Honda Diagnostic System abbreviated HDS, and TIS TechStream from Toyota Lexus. An enhanced aftermarket scan tool has body bidirectional control capability, including Snap-on Modus, Solus, or Varus, OTC Genesis, and Auto Ingenuity. Using a bidirectional scan tool allows the technician to command the operation of electrical accessories, such as horns, windows, lights, door locks, and wipers. See Figure 58-9. If the circuit operates correctly when commanded by the scan tool and does not function using the switches, follow service information instructions for the exact tests and testing procedures to follow for the vehicle being tested. Refer to Figure 58-8. The wiper motor and linkage mount under the cowl panel on many vehicles. Refer to Figure 58-9. A typical schematic showing relays inside the front control module are all tied to other modules on the bus. Refer to Figure 58-10. A typical windshield washer reservoir and pump assembly. Windshield washer diagnosis. To diagnose the washer system, follow service information procedures that usually include the following steps. Step 1. To quick check any washer system, make sure the reservoir has fluid and is not frozen. Then, disconnect the pump hose and operate the washer switch. Note: always use good quality windshield washer fluid from a closed container to prevent contaminated fluid from damaging the washer pump. Radiator antifreeze, ethylene glycol, should never be used in any windshield wiper system. See Figure 58-10. Step 2. If fluid squirts from the pump, the delivery system is at fault, not the motor, switch, or the electrical circuits, switch input, BCM, etc. Step 3. If no fluid squirts from the pump, the problem is most likely a circuit failure, defective pump, or faulty switch. Step 4. A clogged reservoir screen also may be preventing fluid from entering the pump. Windshield washer service. When a fluid delivery problem is indicated, check for blocked, pinched, broken, or disconnected hoses, clogged nozzles, and blocked washer pump outlet. If the pump motor does not operate, check for battery voltage available at the pump while operating the washer switch. If voltage is available and the pump does not run, check for continuity on the pump ground circuit. If there is no voltage drop on the ground circuit, replace the pump motor. If battery voltage is not available at the motor, check for power through the washer switch. If voltage is available at and through the switch, there is a problem in the wiring between the switch and pump. Perform voltage drop tests to locate the fault. Repair the wiring as needed and retest. Washer motors are not repairable and are replaced if defective. Centrifugal or positive displacement pumps are located on or inside the washer reservoir tank or cover. See Figure 58-11. Refer to Figure 58-11. Washer pumps usually install into the reservoir and are held in place with a retaining ring. Refer to Figure 58-12. A typical rain sensing module located on the inside of the windshield near the inside rearview mirror. Rain sense wipers. Parts and operation. Rain sense wiper systems use a sensor located on the inside and at the top of the windshield to detect rain droplets. This sensor is often called the rain sense module, abbreviated RSM. It determines and adjusts the time delay of the wiper based on how much moisture it detects on the windshield. The wiper switch can be left on the sense position all the time, and if no rain is sensed, the wipers do not swipe. See Figure 58-12. The control knob is rotated to the desired wiper sensibility level. The microprocessor in the RSM sends a command to the body control module. The rain sense module is a triangle or rectangle-shaped black plastic housing. Fine openings on the windshield side of the housing are fitted with 8 convex clear plastic lenses. The unit contains 4 infrared, abbreviated IR, diodes, 2 photocells, and a microprocessor. The IR diodes generate IR beams that are aimed by 4 of the convex optical lenses near the base of the module through the windshield glass. 4 additional convex lenses near the top of the RSM are focused on the IR light beam on the outside of the windshield glass and allow the 2 photocells to sense changes in the intensity of the IR light beam. When sufficient moisture accumulates, the RSM detects a change in the monitored IR light beam intensity. The RSM processes the rain intensity signal and sends it over the data bus to the BCM, which then commands a swipe of the wiper. See Figure 58-13. Refer to Figure 58-13. The electronics in the rain sense wiper module can detect the presence of raindrops under various lighting conditions. Tech tip. Rain sense and cruise control. The rain sense wiper module communicates with the BCM over the data links and, if the rain is heavy, a signal is sent to deactivate the cruise control. A message is then displayed on the instrument panel warning that the cruise control is not available. This is normal operation and is used to help prevent the vehicle from hydroplaning during heavy rain. Normal cruise control operation resumes when the rain intensity is reduced. This is normal operation and not a fault with the cruise control system. Diagnosis and service. If there is a complaint about the rain sense wipers not functioning correctly, check the owner's manual to be sure that they are properly set. Also, verify that the windshield wipers are functioning correctly on all speeds before diagnosing the rain sensor circuits. Most rain sensing wiper systems can be tested by misting water on the windshield in the area of the sensor. Always follow the vehicle manufacturer's recommended diagnosis and testing procedures. Cruise control. Purpose and function. Cruise control, also called vehicle speed control, is used to maintain a preset vehicle speed, even up gentle grades. Some vehicles are programmed to downshift the transmission to maintain the vehicle speed when descending grades if the speed increases more than 5 miles per hour, or 7 kilometers per hour, faster than the preset speed. Using cruise control avoids the tendency to drive at varying speeds, helps to reduce driver fatigue, and allows for driver position changes when driving for a long period of time. Cruise control should be avoided if driving on curving roads or when it is raining. Cruise control operation. A typical cruise control system can be set only if the vehicle speed is 25 miles per hour, or 40 kilometers per hour, or more. Older systems use a throttle actuator to control the throttle opening, control switches for driver control of cruise control functions, and electrical brake and clutch, if equipped, pedal release switches. The typical actuator uses a stepper motor to move the throttle linkage based on commands from the cruise control module, which is often inside the cruise control assembly. See Figure 58-14. Note: older Toyota-built vehicles do not retain the set speed and memory if the vehicle's speed drops below 25 miles per hour, 40 kilometers per hour. The driver is required to set the desired speed again. This is normal operation and not a fault with the cruise control system. Most computer-controlled cruise control systems use the vehicle's speed sensor input to the powertrain control module for speed reference. Older cruise control systems also use an actuator to control the throttle opening, as well as control switches for driver control, electrical brake, and clutch, if equipped, pedal release switches. See Figure 58-15. Tech tip: bump problems. Cruise control problem diagnosis can involve a complex series of checks and tests. The troubleshooting procedures vary among manufacturers and year, so a technician should always check service information for the exact vehicle being serviced. However, every cruise control system uses a brake safety switch and, if the vehicle has manual transmission, a clutch safety switch. The purpose of these safety switches is to ensure that the cruise control system is disabled if the brakes or the clutch are applied. Some systems use a redundant brake pedal safety switch. If the cruise control cuts out or disengages itself while traveling over bumpy roads, the most common cause is a misadjusted brake and/or clutch safety switch S. Often, a simple readjustment of these safety switches cures the intermittent cruise control disengagement problems. Caution: always follow the manufacturer's recommended safety switch adjustment procedures. If the brake safety switches are misadjusted, it could keep pressure applied to the master brake cylinder, resulting in severe damage to the braking system. Electronic throttle cruise control. Many vehicles are equipped with an electronic throttle control, abbreviated ETC, system. Vehicles equipped with such a system do not use throttle actuators for the cruise control, but instead use the electronic throttle to control vehicle speed. See Figure 58-16. The cruise control on a vehicle equipped with an electronic throttle control system consists of a switch to set the desired speed. The PCM receives the vehicle speed information from the vehicle speed sensor. The PCM then commands the ETC throttle to open or close the throttle valve as needed to maintain desired vehicle speed. Diagnosis and service. Any fault in the accelerator pedal position, abbreviated APP, sensor, brake switch, or ETC system disables the cruise control function. Always follow the specified troubleshooting procedures, which usually include the use of a scan tool to properly diagnose the ETC system. Refer to Figure 58-14. An exploded view of a cruise control assembly used on a vehicle that does not have an electronic throttle. The stepper motor is connected to the throttle of the engine and is used to increase or decrease engine speed to maintain the set speed. Tech tip: check the brake lights. On many vehicles, the cruise control does not work if the brake lights are not working. This includes the third brake light, commonly called the center high-mounted stop light, abbreviated CHMSL. Always check for the proper operation of the brake lights first if the cruise control does not work. Radar cruise control. Purpose and function. The purpose of a radar cruise control system, often called adaptive cruise control, abbreviated ACC, is to give the driver more control over the vehicle by keeping an assured clear distance, usually 2 to 3 seconds, behind the vehicle in front. If the vehicle in front slows, the radar cruise control detects the slowing vehicle and automatically reduces the speed of the vehicle to keep a safe distance. Then, if the vehicle speeds up, the radar cruise control also allows the vehicle to increase to the preset speed. This makes driving in congested areas easier and less tiring. Terminology. Depending on the manufacturer, radar cruise control is also referred to as the following: adaptive cruise control for Audi, Chrysler, Ford, General Motors, and Hyundai. Dynamic cruise control for BMW, Toyota, Lexus. Active cruise control for Mini Cooper, BMW, and autonomous cruise control for Mercedes. Radar cruise control uses forward-looking radar to sense the distance to the vehicle in front and maintains an assured clear distance. This type of cruise control system works within the following conditions. Condition number 1. Speeds from 20 to 100 miles per hour, or 30 to 161 kilometers per hour. Condition number 2. Designed to detect objects as far away as 500 feet or 150 meters. The cruise control system can sense both distance and relative speed. See Figure 58-17. Parts and operation. Radar cruise control systems use long-range radar, abbreviated LRR, to detect faraway objects in front of the moving vehicle. Some systems use a short-range radar, abbreviated SRR, and or infrared, abbreviated IR, or optical cameras to detect distances for when the distance between the moving vehicle and another vehicle in front is reduced. See Figure 58-18. Diagnosis and service. If the radar cruise control is not working properly, begin by making sure the sensor, which is usually behind the grille on most vehicles, is not covered. The system does not operate if the system is covered by heavy mud, ice, or snow. Additionally, some aftermarket vehicle front covers obstruct the sensor view. If the sensor is replaced, some systems require a realignment using special tools. Always refer to the manufacturer service information for specific instructions. Heated rear window defoggers. Parts and operation. An electrically heated rear window defogger system uses an electrical grid baked on the glass that warms the glass to about 85 degrees Fahrenheit, or 29 degrees Celsius, and clears it of fog or frost. The rear window is also called a backlight. The rear window defogger system is controlled by a driver-operated switch and a timer relay. See Figure 58-19. Refer to Figure 58-15. Circuit diagram of a typical electronic cruise control system. Frequently asked question. Will radar cruise control set off my radar detector? It is doubtful. The radar used for radar cruise control systems operates on frequencies that are not detectable by police radar detector. Units. Cruise control radar works on the following frequencies. 76 to 77 GHz, long range. 24 GHz, short range. The frequencies used for the various types of police radar include X-band, 8 to 12 GHz. K-band, 24 GHz. K-band, 33 to 36 GHz. The only time there may be interference is when the radar cruise control, as part of a pre-collision system, starts to use short-range radar in the 24 GHz frequency. This could trigger the radar detector, but is an unlikely event, and occurs just before a possible collision with a vehicle coming toward you. Refer to Figure 58-16. The Electronic Throttle Control, abbreviated ETC, system uses a sensor that measures the position and the speed of the driver's foot on the accelerator pedal. A throttle position sensor measures the throttle angle. An electric motor operates the movement of the throttle plate using commands from the PCM. Refer to Figure 58-17. Adaptive cruise control can use radar to determine the distance of another vehicle in front. The control unit then checks the driver's selected speed and then sets the distance between the vehicles to determine what action is needed. The PCM then can operate the throttle or the brakes through the anti-lock brake/electronic stability control system to slow the vehicle, if needed, to maintain the set distance. Refer to Figure 58-18. Most radar cruise control systems use radar, both long and short range. Some systems use optical or infrared cameras to detect objects. Refer to Figure 58-19. A schematic showing that the side view mirrors are heated along with the rear window defogger whenever the rear window switch, lower right, is turned to the on position. The timer relay is necessary because the window grid can draw up to 30 amperes, and continued operation puts a strain on the battery and the charging system. Generally, the timer relay permits current to flow through the rear window grid for only 10 minutes. If the window is still not clear of fog after 10 minutes, the driver can turn the defogger on again, but after the first 10 minutes, any additional defogger operation is limited to 5 minutes. The electrical current through the grids depends, in part, on the temperature of the conductor grids. As the temperature decreases, the resistance of the grids decreases and the current flow increases, helping to warm the rear glass. As the temperature of the glass increases, the resistance of the conductor grids increases and the current flow decreases. Therefore, the defogger system tends to self-regulate the electrical current requirements to match the need for defogging. Note, some vehicles use the wire grid of the rear window defogger as the radio antenna. Therefore, if the grid is damaged, radio reception can also be affected. Heated rear window defogger diagnosis. Troubleshooting a non-functioning rear window defogger unit involves using a test light or a voltmeter to check for voltage to the grid. If no voltage is present at the rear window, check for voltage at the switch and relay timer assembly. A poor ground connection on the opposite side of the grid from the power side can also cause the rear defogger not to operate. Because most defogger circuits use an indicator light switch and a relay timer, It is possible to have the indicator light on, even if the wires are disconnected at the rear window grid. A voltmeter can be used to test the operation of the rear window defogger grid. See Figure 58-21. With the negative meter lead attached to a good body ground, carefully touch the positive meter lead to the grid conductors. There should be a decreasing voltage reading as the meter lead is moved from the power, or, hot, side of the grid toward the ground side of the grid. Tech tip: the infrared camera test. It is difficult to test for the proper operation of all grids of a rear window defogger unless the rear window happens to be covered with fog. A common trick that works is to turn on the rear defogger and look at the outside of the rear window glass using an infrared camera. The image shows if all sections of the rear grids are working. See Figure 58-20. Refer to Figure 58-20. A typical image captured using an infrared camera of a rear defogger that is working as designed. Refer to Figure 58-21. A rear window defogger electrical grid can be tested using a voltmeter to check for a decreasing voltage as the meter lead is moved from the power side toward the ground side. As the voltmeter positive lead is moved along the grid, on the inside of the vehicle, the voltmeter reading should steadily decrease as the meter approaches the ground side of the grid. Repair or replacement. Electric grid type rear window defoggers can be damaged easily by careless cleaning or scraping of the inside of the rear window glass. If there is a broken grid wire, it can be repaired using an electrically conductive substance available in a repair kit. Most vehicle manufacturers recommend that grid wire less than 2 inches, or 5 centimeters, long be repaired. If a bad section is longer than 2 inches, the entire rear window needs to be replaced. See Figure 58-22. Refer to Figure 58-22. The typical repair material contains conductive silver-filled polymer, which dries in 10 minutes and is usable in 30 minutes. Power windows. Switches and controls. Power windows use electric motors to raise and lower door glass. They can be operated by both a master control switch located beside the driver and additional independent switches located at each electric window. Some power window systems use a lockout or child safety switch located on the driver's controls to prevent operation of the power windows from the independent switches. Power windows are designed to operate only with the ignition switch in the on, or run, position, although some manufacturers use a time delay for accessory power after the ignition switch is turned off. This feature permits the driver and passengers an opportunity to close all windows or operate other accessories for about 10 minutes or until a vehicle door is open after the ignition has been turned off. This feature is often called retained accessory power, abbreviated RAP. Power window motors. Most power window systems use permanent magnet, abbreviated PM, electric motors. It is possible to run a PM motor in the reverse direction by reversing the polarity of the two wires going to the motor. Most power window motors do not require that the motor be grounded to the body, or door, of the vehicle. The ground for all the power windows is most often centralized near the driver's master control switch. The up and down motion of the individual window motors is controlled by double pole, double throw, abbreviated DPDT, switches. These DPDT switches have 5 contacts and permit battery voltage to be applied to the power window motor, as well as reverse the polarity and direction of the motor. Each motor is protected by a positive temperature coefficient, abbreviated PTC, electronic circuit breaker. These circuit breakers are built into the motor assembly and are not a separate replaceable part. See Figure 58-23. The power window motors rotate a mechanism called a window regulator. The window regulator is attached to the door glass and controls opening and closing of the glass. Door glass adjustments, such as glass tilt and upper and lower stops, are usually the same for both power and manual windows. See Figure 58-24. Auto down and up features. Many power windows are equipped with an auto down feature that allows windows to be lowered all the way if the control switch is moved to a detent or held down for longer than 0.3 seconds. The window then moves down all the way to the bottom, and then the motor stops. Public Law 110-189, also known as the Cameron-Gulbranson-Kids Transportation Safety Act, mandated the use of power window automatic reversal systems, abbreviated ARS. The automatic reversal system is designed to prevent windows from causing injury when they are closing, if the vehicle is equipped with power windows. The Department of Transportation established a limit of 136 feet to pound, or 100 nanometers, of force be exerted by the window before the window retracts. There are 2 methods used for controlling ARS and auto up and auto down windows, including: Number 1. An encoder wheel and position sensor are used to monitor the speed and position of the window as it travels up and down. Number 2. The current, or amperes, required is measured by the power window control module. The window direction reverses if the current draw exceeds a predetermined value. If an object is in the path of the window, the current draw and/or slowing of the window causes the control module to reverse. The system is designed to expect increased current flow and slower window movement in cold weather conditions. However, sudden vehicle movement, such as hitting a bump in the road as the window is moving upward or a fault in the window track, can cause the window to reverse. A factory or factory-level scan tool is used to diagnose this system, which can monitor switch operation and can be used to control the operation of the windows using bidirectional controls. See Figure 58-25. Refer to Figure 58-23. A typical power window circuit using PN motors. Control of the direction of window operation is achieved by directing the polarity of the current through the non-grounded motors. The only ground for the entire system is located at the master control switch assembly. Refer to Figure 58-24. An electric motor and a regulator assembly raise and lower the glass on a power window. Refer to Figure 58-25. A master power window control panel with the buttons and the cover removed. Troubleshooting power windows. Before troubleshooting a power window problem, check for proper operation of all power windows. Also check that the childproof switch is not in the disable position, which prevents the windows from being operated from any position except the driver's master control. Check service information for the exact procedure to follow. In a newer system, a scan tool can be used to perform the following. Number 1. Check for B4, body, or U4, network, diagnostic trouble codes. Number 2. Operate the power windows using the bidirectional control feature. Number 3. Relearn or program the operation of the power windows after a battery disconnect. Always follow the diagnosis and repair procedures as specified. In service information. Tech tip. Programming auto down and up power windows. Many vehicles are equipped with automatic operation that can cause the window to go all the way down, or up, if the switch is depressed beyond a certain point or held for a fraction of a second. Sometimes this feature is lost if the battery in the vehicle has been disconnected. Although this programming procedure can vary depending on the make and model, many times the windows can be reprogrammed without using a scan tool by depressing and holding the down button for 10 seconds. If the vehicle is equipped with an auto up feature, repeat the procedure by holding the button up for 10 seconds. Always check exact service information for the vehicle being serviced. Electric power door locks. Parts and operation. Electric power door locks use a permanent magnet reversible motor to lock or unlock all vehicle door locks from a control switch or switches. The electric motor uses a built-in circuit breaker and operates the lock activating rod. PM reversible motors do not require grounding because, as with power windows, the motor control is determined by the polarity of the current through the two motor wires. See Figure 58-26. Some two-door vehicles do not use a power door lock relay. Because the current flow for only 2 PM motors can be handled through the door lock switches. However, most four-door vehicles and vans with power locks on rear and side doors use a relay to control the current flow necessary to operate four or more power door lock motors. The door lock relay is controlled by the door lock switch and is commonly the location of the one and only ground connection for the entire door lock circuit. Refer to Figure 58-26. A typical electric power door lock circuit diagram. Note that the control circuit is protected by a fuse, whereas the power circuit is protected by a circuit breaker. As with the operation of power windows, power door locks typically use reversible permanent magnet non-grounded electric motors. These motors are geared mechanically to the lock-unlock mechanism. Refer to Figure 58-27. The switch to disable the outside opening of the trunk or lift gate is often in the glove box. Tech tip. Check the glove box switch position. A common customer complaint is that the trunk or lift gate can be opened manually, but it cannot be opened using the remote. Most vehicles are equipped with a lockout switch in the glove compartment, instrument panel compartment, that can be switched off, and the glove box door locked to limit access when the vehicle is parked, and the valet has the key to the ignition. If the switch is in the locked position, the trunk cannot be opened using the remote. Check that first before following the recommended diagnostic procedures found in service information. See Figure 58-27. Troubleshooting power locks. If all power door locks are inoperative, Use a factory or factory-level aftermarket scan tool and try operating the locks using the bidirectional control. If the door locks do not operate using a scan tool, refer to service information for the exact procedure to follow. If only the power door lock is inoperative, check for the power and ground, as well as possible physical binding of the lock mechanism. Repair or replace as needed. Trunk and lift gate locks. Circuit description. The electric power trunk and lift gate lock uses a permanent magnet reversible motor to lock or unlock the trunk/lift gate lock from a control switch or with the remote. The electric motor uses a built-in circuit breaker and operates the lock activating rod. PM reversible motors do not require grounding because, as with power windows and door locks, the motor control is determined by the polarity of the current through the two motor wires. Power sunroof and moonroof. Definitions. While they are similar in nature and often used interchangeably, there is a difference between a sunroof and a moonroof. Sunroof. A sunroof is basically any kind of panel on the roof of a car that permits light, air, or both to come into a vehicle, but only if the panel is opened. A sunroof includes two types of panels. Number 1. One panel may be made of either metal or the same material as the ceiling of the car and can be retracted to expose the glass panel above. Number 2. The other panel is made of glass that can be either tilted open or completely retracted to essentially serve as an open window in the roof. Moonroof. A moonroof is made of a tinted glass panel that can be either tilted open or completely retracted to operate as an open window in the roof. Most new cars have moonroofs. Refer to Figure 58-28. An exploded view of a typical movable roof showing the location of the motor and the drain tubes that direct the water to the ground. Operation. Most moon or sunroof systems use permanent magnet abbreviated, PM, electric motors to open and close the movable glass panel. The open and close, or tilt up or down, motion of the moonroof motors is controlled by double pole, double throw abbreviated, DPDT, switches. These DPDT switches have 5 contacts and permit battery voltage to be applied to the power moonroof motor, as well as reverse the polarity and direction of the motor. Each motor is protected by an electronic circuit breaker. These circuit breakers are built into the motor assembly and are not a separate replaceable part. Diagnosis and service. Always check service information for the exact procedure to use because the moonroofs have many different service items that are likely to need service or repair, including water leaks. Engineers refer to water seals around moonroofs as controlling the flow of water and not necessarily trying to provide a waterproof seal. Because the roof of a vehicle flexes when they're being driven, no seal can prevent water from leaking around the area around the moonroof. Instead, the water is directed to a tray under the outer seal and then tubes are installed at the four corners of the moonroof to drain the water from the tray to the ground. If water is entering the passenger compartment, make sure the drain tubes are not clogged. The tubes are routed through the two front pillars and the two rear C pillars. See Figure 58-28. Refer to Figure 58-29. The control for the operation of the powered inside sunshade on this Chevrolet Impala is in the overhead control panel. Electrical and mechanical issues. Electrical or mechanical issues can prevent the moonroof from opening or closing. Most vehicle manufacturers include a crank or a way to close the roof if the roof fails to close due to an electrical fault. Always follow the vehicle manufacturer's recommended service and repair instructions and procedures. Sunshades. Description. Sunshades are fabric or screen-like material installed on the inside of the vehicle that can be raised, lowered, or moved to block the rays of the sun from entering the interior of the vehicle. Most of the sunshades used on the side windows are operated manually and either can be pulled down from the top of the inside of the door or up from the inner part of the door panel. Sunshades used to block the sun in the rear backlight or moonroof are often electrically powered and use a reversible PM motor to drive the roll holding the fabric. See Figure 58-29. Sunshades are vehicle-specific, so check service information for the exact procedures to follow when servicing or repairing a sunshade. Power seats. Parts and operation. A typical power-operated seat includes a reversible electric motor and a transmission assembly that may have 3 solenoids or motors, and 6 drive cables that turn the 6 seat adjusters. A 6-way power seat offers seat movement forward and backward, plus seat cushion movement up and down at the front and the rear. The drive cables rotate inside a cable housing and connect the power output of the seat transmission to a gear or screw jack assembly that moves the seat. See Figure 58-30. A screw jack assembly is often called a gear nut. It is used to move the front or back of the seat cushion up and down. A rubber coupling, usually located between the electric motor and the transmission, prevents electric motor damage in the event of a jammed seat. This coupling is designed to prevent motor damage. Most power seats use a permanent magnet motor that can be reversed by reversing the polarity of the current sent to the motor by the seat switch. See Figure 58-31. Power seat motors. Power seats use a PM motor to power the movement of the seat. Most PM motors have a built-in circuit breaker or PTC circuit protector to protect the motor from overheating. Some older Ford power seat motors use three separate armatures inside one large permanent magnet field housing. Some power seats use a series wound electric motor with two separate field coils, one field coil for each direction of rotation. This type of power seat motor typically uses a relay to control the direction of current from the seat switch to the corresponding field coil of the seat motor. This type of power seat can be identified by the click heard when the seat switch is changed from up to down or front to back, or vice versa. The click is the sound of the relay switching the field coil current. Some power seats use as many as 8 separate PM motors that operate all functions of the seat, including headrest height, seat length, and side bolsters, in addition to the usual 6-way power seat functions. Note: some power seats use a small air pump to inflate a bag, or bags, in the lower part of the back of the seat, called the lumbar, because it supports the lumbar section of the lower back. The lumbar section of the seat can also be changed, using a lever or knob that the driver can move to change the seat section for the lower back. Refer to Figure 58-30. A power seat uses electric motors under the seat, which drive cables that extend to operate screw jacks, up and down, or gears to move the seat forward and back. Tech tip: easy exit seat programming. Some vehicles are equipped with memory seats that allow the seat to move rearward when the ignition is turned off to allow easy exit from the vehicle. Vehicles equipped with this feature include an exit and entry button that is used to program the desired exit/entry position of the seat for each of two drivers. If the vehicle is not equipped with this feature and only one driver primarily uses the vehicle, the second memory position can be programmed for easy exit and entry. Set position 1 to the desired seat position and position 2 to the entry and exit position. When exiting the vehicle, press memory 2 to allow easy exit and easy entry the next time. Press memory 1 to return the seat memory to the desired driving position. Refer to Figure 58-31. A typical power seat circuit diagram. Notice that each motor has a built-in electronic, solid-state, PTC circuit protector. The seat control switch can change the direction in which the motors runs by reversing the direction in which the current flows through the motor. Refer to Figure 58-32. A typical memory seat module showing the three-wire potentiometer used to determine seat position. Memory seat. Memory seats use a potentiometer to sense the position of the seat. The seat position can be programmed into the BCM or memory seat module, and stored by position number 1, 2, or 3. The driver pushes the desired button and the seat moves to the stored position. On some vehicles, the memory seat position is also programmed into the remote keyless entry key fob. See Figure 58-32. Check service information for the exact procedure to follow when diagnosing power seats. Tech tip: what every driver should know about power seats. Power seats use an electric motor or motors to move the position of the seat. These electric motors turn small cables, gears, and/or shafts that operate mechanisms that move the seat. Never place rags, newspapers, or any other object under a power seat. Even ice scrapers can get caught between moving parts of the seat and can often cause serious damage or jamming of the power seat. In many cases, after the object is removed that caused the seat jam, the memory function needs to be relearned for proper operation to resume. Electrically heated seats. Parts and operation. Heated seats use electric heating elements in the seat bottom, as well as in the seat back, in many vehicles. The heating element is designed to warm the seat and/or back of the seat to about 100 degrees Fahrenheit, or 38 degrees Celsius, or close to normal body temperature, 98.6 degrees Fahrenheit, or 37 degrees Celsius. Many heated seats also include a high position or a variable temperature setting, so the temperature of the seats can, therefore, be as high as 110 degrees Fahrenheit, or 44 degrees Celsius. A temperature sensor in the seat cushion is used to regulate the temperature. The sensor is a variable resistor, which changes with temperature and is used as an input signal to a heated seat control module. The heated seat module uses the seat temperature input, as well as the input from the high to low, or variable, temperature control, to turn the current on or off to the heating element in the seat. Some vehicles are equipped with heated seats in both the front and the rear seats. Diagnosis and service. When diagnosing a heated seat concern, start by verifying that the switch is in the on position and that the temperature of the seat is below normal body temperature. Using service information, check for power and ground at the control module and to the heating element in the seat. Most vehicle manufacturers recommend replacing the entire heating element if it is defective. See Figure 58-33. Heated and cooled seats. Parts and operation. Most electrically heated and cooled seats use a thermoelectric device, abbreviated TED, located under the seat cushion and seat back. The thermoelectric device consists of positive and negative connections between two ceramic plates. Each ceramic plate has copper fins to allow the transfer of heat to or from air passing over the device and directed into the seat cushion. The thermoelectric device uses the Peltier effect, named after the inventor Jean C. A. Peltier, a French clockmaker. When electrical current flows through the module, one side is heated, and the other side is cooled. Reversing the polarity of the current changes the side to be heated. See Figure 58-34. Most vehicles equipped with heated and cooled seats use two modules per seat, one for the seat cushion and one for the seat back. When the heated and cooled seats are turned on, air is forced through a filter and then through the thermoelectric modules. The air is then directed through passages in the foam of the seat cushion and seat back. Each thermoelectric device has a temperature sensor called a thermistor. The control module uses sensors to determine the temperature of the fins in the thermoelectric device so the controller can maintain the set temperature. See Figure 58-35. Always follow the vehicle manufacturer's recommended diagnosis and service procedures for the repair of heated and cooled seat systems. Refer to Figure 58-33. The heating element of a heated seat is a replaceable part, but service requires that the upholstery be removed. The yellow part is the seat foam material and the entire white cover is the replaceable heating element. This is then covered by the seat material. Refer to Figure 58-34. A Peltier effect device is capable of heating or cooling, depending on the polarity of the applied current. Refer to Figure 58-35. A fan is used to move the heated or cooled air to heat or cool the bottom or the back of the seat. Tech tip. Check the seat filter. Heated and cooled seats often use a filter to trap dirt and debris to help keep the air passages clean. If a customer complains of a slow heating or cooling of the seat, check the air filter and replace or clean as necessary. Check service information for the exact location of the seat filter and for instructions on how to remove and or replace it. Heated steering wheel. Parts involved. A heated steering wheel usually consists of the following components. A steering wheel with a built-in heater in the rim. A heated steering wheel control switch. And a heated steering wheel control module. Operation. When the steering wheel heater control switch is turned on, a signal is sent to the control module and electrical current flows through the heating element in the rim of the steering wheel. See Figure 58-36. The system remains on until the ignition switch is turned off or the driver turns off the control switch. The temperature of the steering wheel is usually calibrated to stay at about 90 degrees Fahrenheit, or 32 degrees Celsius, and it requires 3 to 4 minutes to reach that temperature, depending on the outside temperature. Most heated steering wheels only heat a part and often not all the steering wheel. Before trying to repair a condition where just some sections of the steering wheel are being warmed, check service information for what parts are normally heated. Always follow the vehicle manufacturer's recommended diagnosis and testing procedures for heated steering wheel diagnosis and repair. Heated mirrors. Purpose and function. The purpose and function of heated outside mirrors is to heat the surface of the mirror, which evaporates moisture on the surface. Heated mirrors may be an option for the left side outside mirror or both the left and right side outside mirrors, depending on the vehicle. The heat helps keep ice and fog off the mirrors to allow for better driver visibility. Refer to Figure 58-36. The heated steering wheel is controlled by a switch on the steering wheel in this vehicle. Parts and operation. Heated outside mirrors are often tied into the same electrical circuit as the rear window defogger. Therefore, when the rear defogger is turned on, the heating grid on the back side of the mirror is also turned on. On some vehicles, the heated mirrors are activated when the heating, ventilation, and cooling (HVAC) system is placed in the defrost mode. Some vehicles use a switch for each mirror. Diagnosis. The first step in any diagnosis procedure is to verify the customer concern. Check the owner's manual or service information for the proper method to use to turn on the heated mirrors. Note: heated mirrors are not designed to melt snow or a thick layer of ice. If a fault has been detected, check service information instructions. for the exact procedure to follow. If the mirror itself is found to be defective, it is usually replaced as an assembly, instead of being repaired. Adjustable pedals. Purpose and function. Adjustable pedals, also called pedal height or electric adjustable pedals abbreviated, EAP, place the brake pedal and the accelerator pedal on movable brackets that are motor operated. The height of the accelerator pedal and the brake pedal are adjusted together and cannot be adjusted individually. A typical adjustable pedal system includes the following components. Adjustable pedal position switch allows the driver to position the pedals. And adjustable pedal assembly includes the motor, threaded adjustment rods, and a pedal position sensor. See figure 58-37. The position of the pedals, as well as the position of the seat system, is usually included as part of the memory seat function and can be set for two or more drivers. Diagnosis and service. The first step when there is a customer concern about the functioning of the adjustable pedals is to verify that the unit is not working as designed. Check the owner's manual or service information for the proper operation. Follow the vehicle manufacturer's recommended troubleshooting procedure. Many diagnostic procedures include the use of a factory scan tool with bidirectional control capabilities to test this system. Refer to figure 58-37. A typical adjustable pedal assembly. Both the accelerator and the brake pedal can be moved forward and rearward by using the adjustable pedal position switch. Tech tip. Check the remote. The memory function may be programmed to a particular key fob remote, which commands the adjustable pedals to move to the position set in memory. Always check the settings of all remotes before attempting to repair a problem that may not be a problem. Case study. The case of the haunted mirrors. The owner complained that while driving, either one or the other, outside mirror folded in without any button being depressed. Unable to verify the customer concern, the service technician looked at the owner's manual to find out exactly how the mirrors were supposed to work. In the manual, a caution statement said that if the mirror is electrically folded inward and then manually pushed out, the mirror does not lock into position. The power folding mirrors must be electrically cycled outward, using the mirror switches to lock them in position. After cycling both mirrors inward and outward electrically, the problem was solved. See figures 58-38 and 58-39. Summary. The complaint: customer stated that the outside power folding mirror folded by itself at times. The cause: the mirrors must be moved electrically, not manually, to work correctly. The correction: cycling the mirrors electrically restored proper operation. Refer to figure 58-38. Electrically folded mirror in the folded position. Refer to figure 58-39. The electric mirror control is located on the driver's side door panel on this Cadillac Escalade. Folding outside mirrors. Mirrors that can be electrically folded inward are a popular feature, especially on larger sport utility vehicles. A control inside is used to fold both mirrors inward when needed, such as when entering a garage or a tight parking spot. For diagnosis and servicing of outside folding mirrors, check service information for details. Keyless entry. System description. Even though some Ford vehicles use a keypad located on the outside of the door, most keyless entry systems use a wireless transmitter built into the key fob or remote. A key fob is a decorative item on a keychain. See figure 58-40. The transmitter broadcasts a signal that is received by the electronic control module, which is generally mounted in the trunk or under the instrument panel. See figure 58-41. The electronic control unit sends a voltage signal to the door lock actuators located in the doors. Generally, if the transmitter unlock button is depressed once, only the driver's door is unlocked. If the unlock button is depressed twice, then all doors unlock. Rolling code reset procedure. Many keyless remote systems use a rolling code type of transmitter and receiver. In a conventional system, the transmitter emits a certain fixed frequency, which is received by the vehicle control module. This single frequency can be intercepted and rebroadcast to open the vehicle. A rolling code type of transmitter emits a different frequency every time the transmitter button is depressed and then rolls over to another frequency so that it cannot be intercepted. Both the transmitter and the receiver must be kept in synchronized order so that the remote functions correctly. If the transmitter is depressed when it is out of range from the vehicle, the proper frequency may not. Figure 58-40. A key fob remote be recognized by the receiver, which did not roll over to the new frequency when the transmitter was depressed. If the transmitter does not work, try to resynchronize the transmitter to the receiver by depressing and holding both the lock and the unlock button for 10 seconds when within range of the receiver. Refer to Figure 58-40. A key fob remote. Refer to Figure 58-41. A typical vehicle showing the location of the various components of the remote keyless entry system. Refer to Figure 58-42. Figure A, if the passive key is within about 15 feet, 5 meters, of the vehicle when the door handle is touched, the door unlocks, allowing access to the interior. Figure B, the engine starts if the smart key is detected being inside the vehicle. Passive keyless entry system. A passive system uses the key fob as a transmitter, which communicates with the vehicle as it comes close. The key is identified using one of several antennas around the body of the vehicle and a radio pulse generator in the key housing. Depending on the system, the vehicle is automatically unlocked when a button or sensor on the door handle or trunk release is depressed. See Figure 58-42. A passive system can also be used to unlock and open a rear lift gate on an SUV if a foot is moved under the edge of the vehicle, allowing it to open the slider or the rear hatch. Vehicles with a passive, or smart, key system can also have a mechanical backup, usually in the form of a key blade built into the key fob. Vehicles with a smart key system can be started without inserting a key in the ignition, provided the driver has the key fob inside the vehicle. On most vehicles, this is done most often by pressing a start button. When leaving a vehicle equipped with a smart key system, the vehicle is locked, depending on the make, model, and year of manufacture of vehicle, by pressing a button on one of the door handles, touching a capacitive area on a door handle, or walking away from the vehicle and the door locks when the key fob is further away than 15 feet, or 5 meters. Keyless entry diagnosis. A small battery powers the transmitter, and a weak battery is a common cause of remote power locks failing to operate. If the keyless entry system fails to operate after the transmitter battery has been replaced, check the following items. Number 1. Mechanical binding in the door lock. Number 2. Low vehicle battery voltage. Number 3. Blown fuse. Number 4. Open circuit to the control module. Number 5. Defective control module. And number 6. Defective transmitter. Programming a new remote. If a new or additional remote transmitter is to be used, it must be programmed to the vehicle. Generally, all remotes previously programmed to the vehicle must be present during the programming or they no longer work. The programming procedure varies and may require the use of a scan tool. Check service information for the exact procedure to follow. Garage door opener. Operation. HomeLink or Car2U is a device installed in many new vehicles that duplicates the radio frequency code of the original garage door opener. The frequency range is 288 to 418 MHz. The typical vehicle garage door opening system has three buttons that can be used to operate one or more of the following devices. Garage doors equipped with a radio transmitter electric opener. Gates. Entry door locks, and lighting or small appliances. The devices include both fixed frequency devices, usually in older units, and rolling, encrypted, code devices. See Figure 58-43. Refer to Figure 58-43. Typical HomeLink garage door opener buttons. Notice that three different units can be controlled from the vehicle using the HomeLink system. Programming a vehicle garage door opener. When a vehicle is purchased, it must be programmed using the transmitter for the garage door opener or other device. Note, the garage door opening controller can only be programmed by using a transmitter. If an automatic garage door system does not have a remote transmitter, the system cannot be programmed. Normally, the customer is responsible for programming the garage door opener. However, some customers may find that help is needed from the service department. The steps that are usually involved in programming a garage door opener in the vehicle to the garage door opener are as follows. Step 1. Unplug the garage door opener during programming to prevent it from being cycled on and off, which could damage the motor. Step 2. Check that the frequency of the handheld transmitter is between 288 and 418 MHz. Step 3. Install new batteries in the transmitter to be assured of a strong signal being transmitted to the garage door opener module in the vehicle. Step 4. Turn the ignition on, engine off. Step 5. While holding the transmitter 4 to 6 inches away from the opener button, press and hold the button while pressing and releasing the handheld transmitter every 2 seconds. Continue pressing and releasing the transmitter until the indicator light near the opener button changes from a slow blink to a rapid flash. Step 6. Verify that the vehicle garage door system, HomeLink or Car2U, button has been programmed. press and hold the garage door button. If the indicator light blinks rapidly for 2 seconds and then comes on steady, the system has been successfully programmed using a rolling code design. If the indicator light is on steady, then it has been successfully programmed to a fixed frequency device. Diagnosis and service. If a fault occurs with the garage door opening system, first verify that the garage door opener is functioning correctly. Also, check if the garage door opener remote control can operate the door. Repair the garage door opener system as needed. If the problem still exists, attempt reprogramming the HomeLink and Car2U vehicle system, being sure that the remote has a newly purchased battery. Refer to Figure 58-44. A remote start system allows the engine to be started from a distance, usually from inside the house before leaving for the day. Most systems only allow the engine to run for 10 minutes. Remote start. Purpose and function. A remote start is the ability to start the engine of the vehicle from a distance by using a remote control. This is a popular option, especially in cold climates, which allows the driver to start the engine when inside the house or office to start the warm-up process before even entering the vehicle. It is also popular in the warm weather areas where the interior can be cooled by the air conditioning before entering the vehicle. Most factory-installed remote start systems use the same key fob that it used to unlock the doors. See Figure 58-44. Parts and operation. The remote start system uses a signal from the transmitter, usually the key fob on factory systems, to start the engine. The engine runs for about 10 minutes, depending on the system, and then shuts off. The vehicle needs to be set up ahead of time with the HVAC system set to heat or AC and the transmission gear selector in park, or in neutral on vehicles equipped with a manual transmission. Always check service information for the conditions that allow remote starting, which often includes the following. The keyless remote is not inside the vehicle. The gear shift lever is in the P, or, park, position. The security warning system is not activated. The brake pedal is not depressed. The engine hood is closed. All the doors are closed and locked. The trunk or tailgate is closed. The ignition key is removed from the ignition switch. The vehicle battery is not low. Check service information for the exact procedures to follow when diagnosing a fault with the remote engine start system. Warning. Never use the remote start to start the engine if the vehicle is located inside a garage or an area without proper ventilation, or if a car cover is covering the body of the vehicle. Tech tip. Try to purchase an aftermarket system that has a long range. Most factory remote start systems have a range of 400 to 600 feet, or 120 to 180 meters, and may work as far away as 1,500 feet, 450 meters, in open areas. The distance is affected by buildings and walls, which can greatly reduce the effective range. If purchasing an aftermarket remote start device, look for a high transmitter power rating because this is the value that determines the range of the remote. Many units are advertised as having a 500-foot range or 3,000-foot range, but these numbers are for areas without any obstructions. While few vehicle owners need to start their vehicles from more than 1,000 feet away, most want to start a vehicle from inside a building. A longer range, more transmitter power, is needed if it is used from a mall, sporting events, parking garages, hospitals, or restaurants. If in doubt, pay a little more to get a more powerful unit. Reviews questions. Question 1. What are the advantages of using the BCM to able to operate the horns? Question 2. How do rain sense wipers work? Question 3. What is the purpose of a radar cruise control system? Question 4. How can an infrared camera be used to test a rear window? Defogger? Question 5. What is meant by a rolling code? Chapter quiz. Question 1. In most recent model vehicles, the horn button is an input to the what, which then activates the horn circuit. A. Horn relay. B. Instrument cluster. C. BCM. D. Fuse controller. Question 2. Technician says that the cruise control on a vehicle that uses an electronic throttle control system uses a servo to move the throttle. Technician B says that the cruise control on a vehicle with etc. uses the accelerator pedal position sensor to set the speed. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 3. Most vehicles use what to control the actual operation of the wipers? A. Variable resistors. B. changing the voltage to the brushes. C. The BCM. D. The changing the position of the brushes. Question 4. Technician says that the automatic reversal system operates by detecting the force needed to close the window. Technician B says that the childproof lock switch position should be checked if there is a power window operation customer concern. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 5. A typical radar cruise control system uses A. Long-range radar. B. Short-range radar. C. Electronic throttle control system to control vehicle speed. D. All of the above. Question 6. When checking the operation of a rear window defogger with a voltmeter. A. The voltmeter should be set to read AC volts. B. The voltmeter should read close to battery voltage anywhere along the grid. C. Voltage should be available anytime at the power side of the grid because the control circuit just completes the ground side of the heater grid circuit. D. The voltmeter should indicate decreasing voltage when the grid is tested across the width of the glass. Question 7. PM motors used in power windows, mirrors, and seats can be reversed by A. Sending current to a reversed field coil. B. Reversing the polarity of the current to the motor. C. Using a reverse relay circuit. D. Using a relay and a two-way clutch. Question 8. How is the panel of a sunroof opened and closed? A. With a reversible PM motor. B. By way of vacuum actuators. C. With a handle and cables. D. None of these. Question 9. A keyless remote start is not working. Technician A says, the trunk of the vehicle may be open. Technician B says, that the key fob may be too far away from the vehicle. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 10. Technician A says that adjustable pedals move both the accelerator pedal and the brake pedal. Technician B says that only the brake pedal moves when adjusting the pedals. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians are correct. D. Neither a technician is correct. End of chapter 58.